Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with host mother-daughter team Dr. Gloria Call Horsley, marriage and family therapist, and Dr. Heidi Horsley, both experts in the area of grief and loss. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi dedicate this show to their deceased son and sibling, Scott, and to all of the parents and other family members who have lost loved ones before their time. Each week, Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and their guests will share stories of loss, hope, and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week we welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a child or a sibling or a grandchild or even a friend. And as always, the message is others have been there before you and you can make it. You do not walk alone. If you're listening today, this is a pre-record that will be played on Thanksgiving. So you can also hear this. It will be archived on our website after Thanksgiving on healingthegrievingheart.org as well as compassionatefriends.org's website. And you can also download all of our shows on iTunes. And we're on selected radio stations. You can go to healingthegrievingheart.org to get the names of those stations. We also have a quote of the week. And we've also been having people light candles on Scott's website, Heidi.
Very good. We love to see that.
We love to see it. So go on to our website and hit on Scott's site, and you can leave a candle. And please put your child's name there. We really like to have that on Scott's
Absolutely.
Site.
Absolutely. I really like seeing that.
It's great. So today we're going to it's Thanksgiving Day, and I want to say to you, Heidi, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, Mom, and happy Thanksgiving to all of our families out there that are listening today.
Absolutely.
We know it's a hard day for many people.
It's a very hard day. And Heidi will be in New York, and I'll be in Utah, and our listeners will be all over the world. And we wanted to, I've talked to people about the fact that for some of us it's very new on Thanksgiving, and I talked to Pat Loader, our executive director of Compassionate Friends, that is such a loved person, isn't she, Heidi?
She's wonderful. She is truly an angel, in my opinion.
Yeah, she's loved throughout the world, and Pat lost two children. And I asked her about her first Thanksgiving after Stephanie and Stephen were killed. And she said that they actually got together with another couple who'd lost children because they had no children at the time, and the other couple had no children. She said that they really couldn't bear being around their family that year.
I can understand that. I was actually very relieved myself that I wasn't going to be at home that year for Thanksgiving. I had no desire to be at home. It was too painful.
So and we were invited over by some friends, good friends. Their names were the Botkers, and we went over to their house. We had a 14-year-old at home, Heidi's sister, so we had to celebrate Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
in a, you know, needed to get together in some kind of a way, a fashion. And so they invited us over, and we went over, and then our another daughter surprised us and flew in from Utah
for 2 days. Wow, I didn't know she surprised you. That's great.
Yeah, it was a surprise. It was just kind of an amazing thing. The airlines had this special package for $99.
That was wonderful. And that's kind of a nice gift to give the family for Rebecca to fly in. She was 19 at that time.
Right. So she came there. I remember how it was. I asked Pat Loader what she did. You know, for some of our folks, it's 12 noon mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving Day. Some of our folks, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So I asked Pat what they did, Pat Loader, at their meal, and she said they actually spent the entire meal talking about how grateful they were for their children that had been killed and little anecdotes about them.
That's wonderful. That's amazing that they could do that.
Now, I thought that was really interesting, but then, Heidi, how would that have been for you as a sibling?
You know, for me, I think my biggest fear was that my Thanksgiving in some way would be ruined because Mom and Dad would be grieving so much that I would feel like I had to take care of them. So that's what I feared. What I would have loved is to have gotten together like Pat did and talked about positive memories of Scott, not about his death, but about positive memories, things that made me laugh about him. What kind of a person was he? What, you know, positive stories, funny things. That's mm-hmm. what I would have liked to do that first year.
And Pat said something which I thought was really good. She talked about lighting a candle before the event, before dinner. If you're with a family, you know, you may be with just some friends or families that it's difficult for them to talk about it. And one of the things she said you can do is have a little ceremony before your Thanksgiving dinner where you light a candle so that you don't have, as she said, a big elephant sitting in the room for all of Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, one thing I love that you and Dad always did, and I know that I liked it, and my sisters love it, you always put a picture of Scott at the table. And I remember he always got the best place because we always put him at the head of the table with his photo, so we would laugh because he got the best place. And a couple times I remember we would take our own photos and put them down there, so there might be two or three photos of him at the table. And I liked that. That was very comforting to me because, like you said, then his presence is recognized. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to.
Right. So, well, you might want to, you know, kind of run that by your family, too, though, because everybody has different opinions about those kinds of things.
Right.
And make sure what you do is comfortable with everyone. But I asked some people about what their first Thanksgiving, and I just randomly asked them. I was just at a Compassionate Friends board meeting, and I said, what did you do? What do you remember about that first Thanksgiving? But just give me a couple of words. And they said, slept, ate, drank, watched a football game, cried, didn't eat, walked, dropped the turkey, burned the pie, weren't hungry, fixed food that didn't get eaten. And Heidi, I ask you if you'd ask some siblings too. What you know, a couple of words. What did you get?
A couple. Some went out with friends. Some went into their room and chatted online, listened to music, stayed out of the way of the family. A few said they felt angry and resentful because their lives had turned out this way. One family, and I know we were talking about this earlier, Mom, decided that it was too painful to have a traditional Thanksgiving. They made the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, but they ate on TV trays and watched a funny movie on TV so
yes.
that they didn't have to feel pressure to talk to each other.
So there are different ways to do it. And I said to Heidi when we were going to do the show, well, you could also just pull a blanket over your head and sleep all day. And what did you say, Heidi?
I said the problem with that is that's okay if parents feel that way, but what about their kids? You know, as kids, we want our lives to be normal. We want a normal Thanksgiving, and we do want to celebrate Thanksgiving, but we want it in a normal, positive way. We don't want it to be all doom and gloom and grieving. Even though we're sad, it is one day a year, and we want it to be a positive holiday. So sometimes you have to, you know, pull it together for your kids' sake, and you have to do these things. Because kids love holidays. You look forward to, you know, Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep. And we want you to know out there, all of you folks and siblings and whatever, that we know it's hard.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to pull it together and put on that face sometimes that you have to do. It's exhausting.
Especially when you're cooking and making food, because food is such a reminder of your kids. I mean, Mom, you would make Scott's favorite pies. And, you know, you're making things for each child and things that they love. There's something on the Thanksgiving table which usually each child has their own thing that they love. And so food is such a reminder of what you've lost.
Yep, and sometimes you leave the cream off of something because one child doesn't like it, or, you know, there are all these special little things that you do.
And like you said, it was really hard after Scott died because he ate more than everybody else in the family. He was the only boy, and he had a big appetite. He was a teenager. And so you would see at the end of each meal how much was left without him there.
Right, exactly. And you would stop buying those favorite foods because the rest of the family didn't eat them. So even we know that shopping yesterday or the day before, if you did cook, was difficult for you.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that Pat said that they actually laughed about at the end of their first Thanksgiving dinner was the fact that there was so much food left over because the hostess bought a 22-pound turkey.
Oh, my gosh.
And there weren't all those kids to eat it.
And I'm glad that they could laugh, because laughing is such a way to grieve. It's
yeah,
a way to release emotion.
Yes, absolutely. And I think few of other people would understand that they actually were able to laugh about that.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, kind of a wonderful thing. Well, Heidi, let's introduce our guest today, because we're going to talk and what were our topic.
Very good. Okay. Today, our topic is Thanksgiving Reflections, and our guest is Joy Johnson. Joy Johnson has written or edited more than 150 books on grief. She is co-founder, along with her husband, Dr. Marvin Johnson, of Centering Corporation and Teddy Bear Hollow, a center for grieving children. Centering Corporation has received the TCF Professional Award and is North America's oldest and largest bereavement resource center. Centering is also the official bookstore for the Compassionate Friends. Her compassion and understanding have touched many lives. Join us for a discussion of traditions, memories, and challenges of Thanksgiving Day without that special person. Welcome to the show, Joy.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Gloria.
Yeah, it's great having you on the show, and this is such a difficult day for a lot of people, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it is. And you did such a super job of summing it up. It's a place where it's where traditionally we will say Happy Thanksgiving, and I have started sometimes saying Gentle Thanksgiving because people need to be gentled at this time. And you reminded me of one of the great stories of Thanksgiving, which comes from another Compassionate Friends professional, Darcy Sims. And it appears in a little book called This Little While, which is a book for parents whose baby dies. And Darcy tells a great story of the first Thanksgiving they had after their little boy, 9-month-old Austin, died. And they were military, so they had no other family around them. And Darcy prepared the Thanksgiving dinner, traditional dinner, and they sat down. And Allie, who has become her own author and speaker now, was required to say grace because the youngest person in their family said grace. And she said, I won't say grace. I think she was 4 or 5 years, years old, maybe six. She said, I won't say grace because we don't have anything to be thankful for. And Darcy tells how she began to argue with her, and it was one of those arguments that every mother knows, and every mother knows she's not going to win this one. And finally, Allie said, I'll say Thanksgiving at dessert. And Darcy said, that's good. We're having pumpkin pie. It'll be worth being thankful for. So the time came, and she had them hold hands because The Waltons was a TV show then. So they all held hands, and Allie bowed her little head and said, thank you for the little while. And I think for all of us, all the parents whose child has died, to be thankful for the little while. It's so important, and to remember, as you had said, to remember the good times, and then to be brave enough and courageous enough to do what you really need to do.
Yep, to follow what
on that
do.
Day.
You know, I was talking to my husband this morning, and I said, tell me about the first Thanksgiving for you. And he said, you know what, I'm not a big holiday person, and I feel like way too much goes into it, and we forget, you know, the meaning of it and all that. And he said, so it's hard for a person like me who, you know, is not a big holiday guru to suddenly have Thanksgiving thrust upon him and not be able to watch a football game or whatever, feel like you have to be with the family more.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to participate more, so you're drawn more in. You can't just sit back on this one.
That's true. And when you were talking about what people had done to eat a lot, drink a lot, watch football, I thought, well, that's a pretty typical Thanksgiving
right.
day. Mm-hmm. You watch the parade, you know. But it is so tough. And I think there are things we can all do to make it a little less tough. I think one of the tough things for I think a lot of us is that life just goes on. That it happens.
Right. How can Thanksgiving go on? Can't people see?
Yeah. I remember a poem by a really famous poet, Edna St. Vincent Millay, who said, life must go on, and the dead be forgotten. Life must go on, though good people die. Annie, eat your breakfast. Dan, take your medicine. Life must go on. I just forgot why.
I love
the rhythm of that and the way she says it.
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the things that comes from this is we also have to look at our past Thanksgivings. How did people behave in the past? Can we really expect them to behave totally different and do a complete turnaround now?
Right. And some people, you know, I think often we talk about how this is going to be so tough and you need to do something different, when with some folk, doing that same thing is very comforting.
Absolutely. In fact, recommendations in the grieving brief world is that people kind of try to maintain their rhythm for the first year.
Yeah, that's true.
However, that's true. For some people that works, for some people it doesn't.
I like the idea of Thanksgiving dinner on trays.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was
good. Yeah. One mom said they were just devastated and their son's birthday was on Thanksgiving. And so they just said, you know, no family this year. They took the kids to Benihana. about as far from traditional turkey as you get.
Break, yeah. We're coming up on break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more from Joy Johnson about Thanksgiving Reflections. Please, you cannot join our show today because it's a pre-record, but if you'd like to email us about this show or upcoming shows, you can reach Heidi and me through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. Please stay tuned for more.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. Many of you have asked Heidi and me about our forthcoming book for parents on helping teens deal with loss. We are pleased to announce that the book will be published by Rainbow Books and will be available in your bookstores spring of 07. Visit our website for the quote of the week, as well as information on our next book, Keeping Your Marriage Strong After a Profound Loss.
The challenges we face day to day create physical, intellectual, spiritual, and emotional tensions, which affect the way we feel. Our body sends us signals, pain, stress, worry, that originate in how we think, feel, or behave. We're All a Little Crazy host, clinical social worker, and therapist, Debbie Benching, and her expert guests look at the various influences that mold professional and public views of mental health, treatments, and methods to achieve emotional well-being. Learn to manage difficult circumstances in life and relationships with integrity and competence. Express emotion more clearly and gain depth in choices that lead to mental and physical health in your relationship and your life. Tune into We're All a Little Crazy with Debbie Benching, broadcasting each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We're All a Little Crazy. Clarity, healing, and change through personal growth. Omega Institute is the country's leading center for holistic studies. Now you can experience selected workshops from Omega in the comfort of your own home. Join us for a live web broadcast with John Friend, the founder of Anasara Yoga. In this dynamic workshop, we learn a Hatha Yoga system that is a celebration of the heart and looks for the good in all people and all things. To find out more about our live web broadcast, log on to our website, www.eomega.org. That's www.eomega.org. Or call us at 800-944-1001. That's 800-944-1001.
Do you want to live a more productive life in spite of your pain? Pain is something that has happened to you. It is not who you are. Tune in to Pain Tamers. Time to control your pain. Become your own best advocate. Become informed, equipped, and empowered to fight chronic pain together with Pain Tamers. Time to control your pain. With host Helen Dearman. Every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. Your life, your health, your network.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heidi, with my mom and host, Dr. Gloria. Today our topic is Thanksgiving Reflections, and our guest is Joy Johnson. Joy has written or edited more than 150 books on grief. She is co-founder of Centering Corporation and Teddy Bear Hollow, a center for grieving children. Her compassion and understanding have touched many lives. Join us for a discussion of traditions, memories, and challenges of Thanksgiving Day without that special person. Welcome back to the show, Joy and Gloria.
Thanks, Ed. Well, we also want to welcome back all our listeners to the show today because it is Thanksgiving Day. And we appreciate the fact that you're listening today, and we know it's a difficult day for you, and our hearts all go out to you.
Absolutely. I agree.
Joy, when we came back, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Centering Corporation and your, I know you do some wonderful work, and your Teddy Bear Hollow.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Centering is, as Heidi said, the North America's oldest and largest bereavement resource center. Well, it's North America's only, so we can say whatever we want. But we work exclusively in grief and mainly with death grief. And we started 30 years ago.
Wow.
30 years ago, there were 7 books on grief.
Mm,
this 30 years ago, you two would not have been doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have come so far in recognizing that we're a grieving nation, and sometimes we grieve as a nation. But centering.org is the way in to look at our catalog. We have in front of me, I have at least four books on holiday grief, and we're available to consult and to help. We do bookstores all over the country, and we love Compassion Friends Bookstore. That is by far my favorite. And the people there, if parents of children have died, have not attended a national conference, I really recommend
it. Aren't they amazing?
Oh, you
aren't
come
they
away
amazing,
refreshed.
Heidi? They're incredible.
They're incredible, and what I really like is we're into holidays and remembering. What I really like is then there you are Scott's mom, you're Scott's sister.
Mm-hmm.
The name is said over and over and over.
Joy, and that's what's amazing. You meet all these people year after year, and I have no idea what they do for a living or what they're... I know all about the person that died, and that's what I love about it. You're right.
You're right. Oh, yeah. And for kids, it's fantastic. It's just really...
And wonderful workshops. And
yeah. And it sounds only people who are bereaved know what we mean when we say it's really fun. when people who don't have that candle on grief like to look at us and they don't get it, but
exactly.
It's a time just to and you people there who have unbelievable losses, five children.
Mm-hmm.
In fact the lady I met who had five children who died put five candles on her mantle and lit them every holiday.
You get wonderful ideas at the conference about what other people are doing, how they're making it.
Oh, and you see a thousand
surviving.
People walking in memory?
Yep.
Well, very impressive. But Teddy Bear Hollow, which is Ted, capital E, Bear Hollow, Teddy Bear Hollow, is a center for grieving children in Omaha. There are almost 200 centers for grieving children across the country. So if you need to find one, they're on the Internet, Center for Grieving Children, or just go to Dougie, Dougy.org.
And we've had the head of the Dougie Center on the show.
Donna.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they are remarkable, too. We have just last week had a day-long camp called Tinsel and Tears and Holiday Hope.
Ah,
and
wonderful.
Their children have, and I think adults do, too. There are four tasks of grieving children, and one is to recognize the reality of the death, which is hard for all of us sometimes, to grieve the death, to commemorate the person who died, and then to move on to new relationships, including a relationship with the person who died, because, we've been talking about Scott.
Yeah,
right.
And
we
those continuing
don't have a relationship
bonds.
With him, you bet.
Yeah, and things like little things that you have during the holidays that you've put out or that you've done or... kind of remembrances that you've done. But let's remember, folks, when we talk to you today, we know it is Thanksgiving Day, and what we want to say to you is you don't have to do what you did last year or the year before your child died. You don't have to put things out if they're too painful. You don't have to do the things that you did. You can change your routine a little bit.
And your Thanksgiving is not going to be the same as it was when your child was alive. That's impossible because they're not there.
And remember, folks, it is one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, for me, when I look at a holiday, an anniversary, a birthday coming up, that I anticipate it being so bad that when it actually comes, it's not nearly as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
As one mother said, this is it.
Right.
Because she'd expected the world to stop.
Stress is almost worse before the event.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of like the super visit to the dentist.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we need to be careful about during this day, though, is we can maybe contain it within ourselves, but being critical of the way other people are handling it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is such a good idea.
Because be prepared today, folks. It's still Thanksgiving Day, and maybe somebody's going to make a remark that you don't like, or maybe they're not going to talk at all, and you're not going to like that.
I was going to say, putting pressure. I liked that story that you told, Joy, about Darcy, because putting pressure on your kids to say what they're thankful for is difficult on a day like this. I mean, when you've had somebody, a brother or sister die, you're thinking, well, what is there to be thankful of?
Yeah.
So I like how Allie said, I want to wait till dinner's over.
Yeah, she'll wait for dessert. She's not a dumb kid.
Yeah, I think she was four at the time, wasn't she?
I think so. very young.
So let your children, don't expect them to do what they did. Don't put the pressure on them.
Allow everyone some freedom and grace.
And yourself.
Yeah, and to do what you really want to do. We at Tinsel and Tears, the kids make on Thanksgiving Day, a part of what they can choose to do is they take home a little wreath, a very small wreath, and after Thanksgiving dinner, they decorate the wreath with miniature Christmas decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a ribbon for each week, a little small colored ribbon for each week leading up to the end of the year. And each week, the ribbon is used by the families tied on while memories are shared.
That's good.
So, you know, and that's always a choice to do things like that, or to one family made Christmas ornaments after Thanksgiving, and they made them with the ink pens and drew on the ornaments and wrote notes on the ornaments, messages, and then that was all they put on their tree.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of step out of Thanksgiving, and we've got one foot into Christmas already.
Yeah.
And that can be so painful.
And one of the things that you can do that I've heard that is kind of sweet, if you've got a container, a plastic pumpkin's great. If you have before the meal, people write what they're thankful for, and you just put it into the container, and then someone brings it out. You take turns reading.
I like that.
And that's good. I like that.
And then
that.
You don't even have to do your own thing, and they're anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And
if people don't want to put something they're thankful for, they don't have to.
And what I remind myself and other people so often is we honor our children by having a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And to be thankful for things. Sharon Greenlee experienced the death of her mother when she was 10. She's now Professor Greenlee at University of Wyoming in Laramie.
And she's also been on our show, so you
Sharon
love it through our show. She's
yeah,
fabulous.
With her two, her son and her husband's son who were killed on the same day in different parts of the country.
No, that's so strange.
But she has a wonderful thing that we used after we went back to New York City after 9/11, and we worked with people who had run from the towers.
Mm, wow.
And she did a magnificent thing. Her daughter had called her and said, every time I think about David, I see him burning up in the car, which is what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon said, I want you to sit down and be very quiet and relax, and then I want you to see your mind as a computer screen, and I want you to take a picture of what you see, the car, David, burning up. Then I want you to open a file folder, like you have a file folder on your computer, and I want you to put that picture in the file folder. But then I want you to take five more mental pictures, mental photos of good memories of David. Well, the first one she took a metal picture of was him coming out of the bathroom with a towel around his waist and a towel around his head, because growing up in a family with three sisters, he didn't know you didn't need to put a towel around your head. And then she put those pictures in the file folder, and Sharon said, whenever you see the car and David, the traumatic picture, take a deep breath, open the file folder, and bring out the good memories.
That's a wonderful thing.
And it doesn't take away the picture. And, you know, she's not saying forget it.
Right.
Don't think about it. What she's saying is there are so many thankful memories
Absolutely.
To superimpose.
Thank you, Joy. That's a great thought from her. We're coming up on break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more about Thanksgiving reflections from our guest, Joy Johnson. You can email us through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, about these shows and other shows, and you can also download it on iPod. Please stay tuned for more.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Betsy Hicks, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future.
autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Betsy offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, adult services, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope. In the realm of mental health, psychiatry is often misunderstood. On Good Psychiatry is Good Medicine, with host and forensic psychiatrist Dr. Ron Kennedy Bailey, find out the truth behind the myths, rumors, disparities, and misconceptions about the broad spectrum of mental illness and treatment options. Dr. Bailey educates and informs with truthful, factual, honest, and direct communication of information regarding mental health issues and topics to further enhance the overall medical and legal areas in healthcare. For the best information on ADHD, psychopharmacology, forensic, and psychiatric health concerns, tune into Good Psychiatry is Good Medicine with Dr. Ron Kennedy Bailey every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen. You know me for Chicken Soup for the Soul, the 1 Minute Millionaire, and Cracking the Millionaire Code. And what I want you to know is that if you want to have rip-roaringly good health, listen to Health Crusades by my friend John Farley.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heidi, with my mom and host, Dr. Gloria. Today our topic is Thanksgiving Reflections, and our guest is Joy Johnson. Joy has written or edited more than 150 books on grief. She is co-founder of Centering Corporation and Teddy Bear Hollow, a center for grieving children. Her compassion and understanding have touched many lives. Join us for a discussion of traditions, memories, and challenges of Thanksgiving Day without that special person. Welcome back to the show, Joy and Gloria.
Thanks, Hyde. Well, I want to say to all you listeners out there, we know this is a tough day for you, and also for many of you, a day of thanks for the child that you had in your life. But there are others of us out there who are feeling really angry and upset, the day has just come along, and we're involved in court cases, we're involved in still feeling very angry about events that happened around the death of our child. Have you got any suggestions, Joy or Heidi, about what we can do out there?
It's tough, and anger just flares sometimes. In fact, with children who have been murdered, it can become rage. Mm-hmm. And I think there's got to be several good outlets for that. Anger a lot of times occurs with our stereotype is more of guys than of gals, more of dads than of moms. But it goes across the board, and it's a normal, as you know,
absolutely,
normal accepted part of grief. It's what we do with it that is so important. We have a book coming out for dads, and we haven't got a title for it yet. Rob Anderson is writing it. His son was murdered and then set on fire. Mm-hmm. He's ex-Marine, and he is a super writer. He wanted to title the book, It's Like Hemorrhoids, It Will Get Better, but I'm not sure that's the title it's going to go.
I like that.
But he talks some about taking care of your anger and having a time when you can just yell.
Mm-hmm.
Just yell and hit something with your fist that is not going to hurt someone else.
Joy, what a great idea this Thanksgiving. If you are feeling so angry, you may want to go out in your car and maybe not drive, but
that's a good idea.
But just get in it or go in some space where you can scream and yell for a minute before the guests come or before you have to do something.
I remember we all went up in the mountains and we all screamed Scott's name over and over, and you could hear it echoing.
And that's a wonderful idea.
It was such a relief.
And you were with your siblings and Matthew's siblings?
Yes.
Scott was killed with his cousin, so how many of you got together?
There was four kids, all the four siblings, and then Tony was there, my uncle, and we were screaming and yelling, and you could hear the echoing, Scott, 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 over and over and over, the echo of his name. Mm-hmm. And we just kept screaming.
I like that. That is so good. I think if I were a mom who was doing this first Thanksgiving, a neat idea to take care of my anger would be to go to a thrift store and buy a really cheap set of dishes. Use those dishes for Thanksgiving dinner, then break them into a metal garbage can. Saves you doing dishes, for one thing.
Yeah. If you don't have time to do it right now because it's Thanksgiving Day, pick one old one that you don't like.
Oh, yeah, it's a little late for this now, but you're right. You can still do something. But, yeah, to be anger, I think, needs a physical outlet. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, one man said, take your anger for a walk.
Yeah, I love that.
It'll bubble out.
Good idea. Take your anger for a walk today.
Yeah, it'll bubble out.
And I think it's a good idea to give yourself permission to leave a situation today.
Oh,
if you're feeling angry, don't comment on it. If somebody makes the comment while they're with the angels, you might want to take a walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, excuse yourself.
Oh, yeah, and to be able to talk with someone about your anger, just to say I'm so damn mad.
Right.
You've got
somebody, or if you don't have somebody you can talk to, you might want to write it down to put it away to talk to a friend about it tomorrow.
Yeah, talking to a tape recorder if you want.
Yeah.
As long as you don't hurt someone else or yourself, anger can be really healthy. It motivates us.
Right.
Gets us moving.
But if you've got, say, a spouse who's really angry, you've got a relative that's coming over that they feel are involved or always makes inappropriate comments, be prepared to have a plan to leave the room or... You know, what you're going to do, probably today is not the day to confront it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And maybe even agree to put a moratorium on it.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you've got a spouse that maybe you feel like they're extra angry, you might want to talk to them in advance about that you know that this could be difficult for them and give them permission to leave.
Right.
To go out of the room or go for a walk or whatever. And don't be too hard on people if they're late for dinner or do walk off or whatever.
Otherwise, if I think those are all good agreements, otherwise we're going to have some really, really loud chewing of the turkey. bang of the forks.
And also, I always suggest that people make sure that if you're having guests in, that they have some good hors d'oeuvres if you're going to have drinks and try to cut down on the drinks.
Definitely.
This is a difficult time. For
you
people,
bet.
It may be the time when you want to have light beer or not enough beer in the house. You say, excuse me, I'm sorry, we didn't have enough.
Right. Too much alcohol will definitely fuel the anger.
Yeah. My daughter has a little needle point on her refrigerator that says there is always one less beer in the house than guests.
I like that.
It's a perfect day for that.
Oh, yeah, and there are some very neat punches and drinks that are non-alcoholic that look beautiful in the glasses.
Absolutely.
And also too much alcohol will fuel the tears. People will get really emotional. It's hard on kids when that happens.
That's true. Good point, Heidi. Good point. Because the kids are so important. There is there's a saying of the three T's of children, and if I can remember them, one is touching, telling, and what would be the other one? Three T's for children in the holidays. I'm blank on it now.
Tickling.
Tickling would work. Tickling would work, yeah. Yeah, we sometimes forget to touch. We forget to hug and we forget to, or else we need it so much, you know, that it's a burden on the kids again.
And you might want to, if you got a favorite uncle or something that the kids really like, you might want to ask them if they'll play a game with the kids in advance or take them for a walk or go to a movie. Or
I was just thinking, play croquet, do something fun to kind of get you to move your energy around.
Yeah. It's touching tears and talking.
Oh, talking.
Tears was one I forgot because everybody needs to be able to cry.
I think tickling
should be. Tickling should be. We should have four T's. And humor is so important. I would die without humor.
Yeah, and some of the things that we bereaved people think are humorous, right, Heidi, are just not funny to other people.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, give me a room full of grieving parents anytime. over, you know, that that is so, people are real. You see people
yep.
real. We're asked a lot, how can you do what you do? Because people are real then.
I call it you're in the presence of truth.
That's good. That's very good. It's kind of the Darth Vader syndrome. You remember in the early trilogies, then Darth Vader dies. And he says to Luke Skywalker, remove my mask, my son. And Skywalker says, if I do, Father, you will surely die. And Darth Vader says, that is not in question. Remove my mask.
Uh-huh.
And Luke Skywalker very tenderly takes off this huge, frightening mask, and underneath is just a shriveled-up little man.
Uh-huh.
And when we take this huge mask off, and there's nobody scarier than Vader. Now, even yet today, young children know Darth Vader.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about how he is the symbol of death for one generation. It'd be your generation, I think, Heidi, wouldn't it?
Right, Didn't absolutely.
Star Wars come out with you?
Mm-hmm.
David Prowse, who played
You know what? I'm going to have to go to break now, so we'll have to come back with this analogy about Darth Vader.
We'll come back about how the symbol of death has feet of clay.
Okay. We're coming up on break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and please stay tuned to hear more on Thanksgiving Reflections with our guest, Joy Johnson. You can email Heidi and I through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. These shows are archived on our website as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned for more.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010. That's 877-969-0010 to order a set, or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Omega Institute is the country's leading center for holistic studies. Now you can experience selected workshops from Omega in the comfort of your own home. Join us for a live web broadcast with John Friend, the founder of Anasara Yoga. In this dynamic workshop, we learn the Hatha Yoga system that is a celebration of the heart and looks for the good in all people and all things. To find out more about our live web broadcast, log on to our website, www.eomega.org. That's www.eomega.org. Or call us at 800-944-1001. That's 800-944-1001. Dating should be less about matching superficial interests and more about being comfortable expressing your inner being. When you're living with a special health condition, dating becomes a difficult balance between complete honesty and fear of judgment. This emotionally vulnerable dance can end up a frustrating experience. There is an option. On Finding Love with a Special Condition, hosts Ricky Michael Durham and Dr. Sherry Meltz discuss various conditions from AIDS, HIV, cancer, obesity, deafness, diabetes, IBS, infertility, and impotence to allergies, herpes, and hepatitis, and offer support, alternatives, and opportunities to develop friendships and relationships built on understanding and honesty. Finding Love with a Special Condition, broadcast each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Finding Love with a Special Condition with Ricky Michael Durham and Dr. Sherry Meltz. Acceptance and love with understanding and honesty.
opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heidi, with my mom and host, Dr. Gloria. Today our topic is Thanksgiving Reflections, and our guest is Joy Johnson. Joy has written or edited more than 150 books on grief. She is co-founder of Centering Corporation and Teddy Bear Hollow, a center for grieving children. Her compassion and understanding have touched many lives. Join us for a discussion of traditions, memories, and challenges of Thanksgiving Day without that special person. Welcome back to the show, Joy and Gloria.
Thanks, Hyde. Well, again, we want to say to all of you out there, this is our last segment, and we wanted to say to you that bless you on Thanksgiving, and our hearts go out to you, and we know that it's a difficult time. Joy, you were, when we went to break, you were talking a little bit about the Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. David Prowse is a friend of ours, and he played Vader. He played the body of Vader. The funny part is he said there were words to the Star Wars theme, that bum, 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 and it's Star Wars, made me a fortune, paid off the mortgage, bought me a car. But we used Vader as a symbol of death. He could be a symbol of Thanksgiving. He could be a symbol of the holidays. He is huge. He's frightening. He's black. He breathes on you and you die. There's no more terrifying symbol of death than Darth Vader. But David Prowse says that when he put the Vader costume on, which weighed 40 pounds, and he was 7 feet tall with the lifts on his boots, that as soon as he breathed, the goggles in his helmet fogged over. That wasn't a problem. He could look out through his mouthpiece. But when he went in for the first scene into the rebel camp, the camera could pick him up looking through his mouthpiece, so they covered it with black cotton. He was almost totally blind during the whole filming. And then, on top of that, not only did someone have to lead him off the set after a scene, his pants kept falling down because they were so heavy. So when you look at it, if I remind myself that Thanksgiving, the holidays, grief itself can be like Darth Vader. Pants are falling off and it can't really see. Then you can have the courage to move on and do what you need to do.
And things aren't what they seem to be. And
that's a good point. Yeah.
Have courage and hope and faith that we will go on and the others have been there. Well, what if you have a piece of advice for people about Thanksgiving or in general, what would it be as far as grieving goes, Joy?
It would be to make your decision. We have a book called Dear Parents, and it's writings from parents to parents. And we ask parents to sit down if they were with a family who had just buried a child, what would they say? They were tougher than I would be, and the big thing was it's your choice. You can grow through this and go through this, or you can let it damage you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's awfully hard sometimes to say I'm growing and I'm going through it. It does get better.
And some days like this, you just have to make it through. Do you have any thoughts, Heidi, for the folks on Thanksgiving?
Well, you've said it before, Mom. If you can't make it, then fake it.
Mm-hmm. It's a great day to
That's
fake
good.
It.
That is good.
Yeah, a great day to fake it. Well, Joy, can you give folks your website again and talk a little bit about, maybe give a couple of titles of the books you've got there?
Sure. The website is centering.org, and it's centering.org. That takes you to four other websites. Another is griefdigest.org, Grief Digest, which is our magazine. The books that I have in front of me is a wonderful one called A Decembered Grief by Harold Ivan Smith, which gets us through Christmas. A very small little one is called Not Just Another Day, and that speaks a lot to children, Not Just Another Day. Doug Manning did a fine book called Thoughts for the Holidays. And then there is a really nice one by Paul Alexander called that is a tape of getting through holidays. So there's some help out there.
Absolutely, and you can get those. Give your website again for them.
Centering, C-E-N-T-E-R-I-N-G, .org.
Well, Joy, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And all I can say is happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, for those who are feeling thankful, enjoy it from that point of view. For those who are feeling like it's a day that they're going to get through, our hearts go out with you to get through this day. Do you have any more comments, Hyde?
I'm just wishing everyone a peaceful and gentle Thanksgiving today.
Great.
Peaceful and gentle make it. That's right.
Right. So bless you all on this Thanksgiving Day, and as I say, our hearts go out with you. It's time for our show to close down. I want to thank our guest, Joy Johnson. Please stay tuned again next week when our topic will be From Parent to Advocate, Long Day's Journey. Our guest will be Deborah Dokken. Deborah lost two infants and a premature birth of her son, Jeremy. Deborah is the bereaved parent of these two infants and a co-investigator for the Initiative for Pediatric Palliative Care, a national education project helping to educate the medical community. This show is archived on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. This is Dr. Gloria Horsley.
And Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Please stay tuned again next Thursday, 9 Pacific Time, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope, renewal, and support. Remember, others have been there and made it, and you can too. You do not walk alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today on Healing the Grieving Heart. Join us again next Thursday at the same time on Voice America Health and Wellness.